This is Anishinaabe Way, Lives, Words, and Stories of Ojibwe People.
I think it's commonly accepted that nobody sees the world the way the world really is. We see the world as we are.
Dr. Anton Troyer is the Executive Director of the American Indian Resource Center at Bemidji State University. He's the author of 13 books and is the editor of Oshka Bewis Native Journal, the only academic journal of the Ojibwe language. I asked Dr. Troyer about the achievement gap experienced by many Native American students and the concept of collective knowledge, an idea Dr. Troyer often uses in his presentations about the current state of education in Minnesota and in the greater United States.
In education, Native views and perspectives have often been highly marginalized. Indians pop up only a couple times in the curriculum. It's usually non-Minnesota specific things like Christopher Columbus and the First Thanksgiving, and usually some pretty distorted and sugar-coated versions of those events. There's very little that happens after 1900. Especially things that are relevant, relatable, and part of the common Native experience today. And bridging that gap is critically important. I think in education, it's never the intention of educators to out somebody or marginalize them, but it is the impact for a lot of Native kids when they go to school and they learn all the important things they need to know to be successful, but nothing ever has anything to do with them. The unspoken message that people hear, whether it's intended or not, is that you and yours just aren't important to be successful. And that's a blow to self-esteem, and people react to that like many of us react when we feel a little set upon. It triggers an old caveman response and fight or flight. And a lot of our Native kids do that. It's fight or flight. The issues in school are truancy or some sort of passive resistance to whatever's going on in the school. And as we struggle for ideas on how to bridge the so-called achievement gap, it's incumbent upon us to understand the students that we're trying to serve. And this isn't just an issue with the Ojibwe kids in Grand Marais, although it is an issue there, but it's an issue everywhere across this country. We have lots of students of color in America, and only half of them finish high school.
A U.S. Department of Education report released in November of 2012 ranked the state of Minnesota 50th out of 50 states for the graduation rate of Native American students.
In the future, the majority of the students in America will be students of color, and we will have an educational system that only gets half of them to the finish line in high school. And that's not a recipe for a healthy country, especially when we know that, you know, the lifetime earnings benefit for someone with a college degree is about $800,000 per year more than somebody who does not. So as the gap between people who have money and people who don't have money gets wider and wider, and the correlation between people who have a job or have an education and have money is tighter and tighter, then what happens is we racialize the gap between haves and have-nots. And there have been many examples across the world where those kind of fissures have erupted into really destructive situations for those nations. And none of us want that in America, but some people act surprised when we have a situation like we did in Ferguson or things like that. And really, ultimately, the issue is what we cannot see, because we see the world the way we are, not the way the world really is, then, of course, a lot of people are surprised to know that other people aren't seeing it the same way or find such a jarring disconnect with some of their neighbors. Those are things we need to overcome, and education is the most powerful way to overcome them.
This is Anishinaabe Way, Lives, Words, and Stories of Ojibwe People, a series produced by Stacy Droulard with music by Keith Sekola. Funding for the series comes from the Minnesota Legacy Fund and WTIP Community Radio.